Barracuda, you're safe. And First Sea Arena, now they're coming for your cyber insurance. These stories and much more in today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Ultimate IT Growth Conference, coming June 13th and 14th in Orlando, Florida. This is a workshop-oriented conference, so you can walk away getting things done. Pick up some of Jennifer Bleem's best hints, tips, and tricks to grow your MSP and mature the way you think about growth. To register or find out more, visit mspsalesrevolution.com/ultimate.
Good morning and welcome to the June 2nd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. How are you? I don't know about everyone else, but I literally just woke up from MSP GeekCon last week. So I know we recorded right after so we could actually get a week of sleep. In fact, I think you were actually asleep for that recording. You pre-slept.
I slept all the way through the recording, and it worked really great. And I appreciate all your interviews. I did enjoy them, the special reports. MSP GeekCon is, it's in the can. It's absolutely amazing. So thank you. Thank you, Phil, also for covering. Definitely good.
Phil was awesome. I mean, there was a small coup. We're like, do we have to invite Ray on the next one? I don't know. This is awkward. that was a kid. Anyway, let's get into the fun stuff. There's so much news out there. I mean, talk to me. What are we talking about today?
All right. So first thing I want to acknowledge, yesterday marked the beginning of Pride Month. So I'm putting an open call out, and I reached out to some friends that I always have advised me in areas that I'm not a subject matter expert, which is honestly everything. But they had pointed out one of the things ConnectWise does for Pride Month is they post stories from people either in the Alphabet Mafia or adjacent to it. So I think we're going to do the same thing, and I think it'd be really cool. So I'm putting an open call out to all of the audience. If you're in the Alphabet Mafia or you're an ally and you have stories of, you know, how it's affected your life or your work or anything like that, hit us up, news@mspmedianetwork.com. And we want to hear your stories, and we're definitely going to publish some. And if you want to do an interview,
kind of stories, what kind of stories? Like, this could take such a horrible turn. You got to remember the audience that we're literally talking to is the
no.
We want audience.
We want positivity. I'm looking for, like, you know, being open to the, because I know there are absolutely LGBTQIA plus. I just say Alphabet Mafia. I can't remember all the letters. Yeah. But there's so many. I know for a fact there's IT groups and peer groups that are specifically for queer people, right? Like, I love that. And so, like, just like our communities have been able to help us, and MSP Econ was a beautiful example of that, the community coming together to do amazing things. I want to hear about stuff from other communities that I'm not a part of. And I want to hear how you guys help each other, guys, girls, theys, whatever, help each other, or, you know, how that, if that had any kind of effect on coming up in work or personal life, just let us know. We want to hear your stories at the end of the day. I love learning about people. So that's where we're going with it.
And for those of you who are interested or can't decide what type of story to talk about, we get quite a few private things. That is a huge array. And Ray and I are personally part of a group that's called the Tech Degenerates, which, by the way, is a group of very, very, very smart people. You have to remind yourself that the audience that we're talking to is here for one reason, and that's technology. It doesn't matter if, I'm sorry, you're under 6 feet tall. That's me, by the way. You're not allowed, too short to ride this train. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, into males or females, or somewhere in between. It doesn't really matter. We're interested in hearing from you because we're all here for technology. And frankly, you're just part of the group. So love to hear the stories.
Awesome. But for now, you know what I want to hear? I want to hear some news. Tony, you got some news for us?
Let's get into the news. I sure do. And in my first story from ArsTechnica.com, a critical Barracuda Zero Day was used to backdoor the networks for 8 months. A serious vulnerability in Barracuda's network email software, tracked as CVE-2023-2868, has been under active exploitation since October, leading to data breaches in large organizations. The flaw is a remote command injection vulnerability related to incomplete input validation, allowing attackers to execute system commands. The affected versions of Barracuda Email Security Gateway versions are 5.1.3.001 through 9.2.0.006. The attacks have resulted in installation of several pieces of malware, including Saltwater, Seaside, and CSpy, facilitating sensitive data exfiltration. Barracuda has already patched the vulnerabilities and notified the impacted users. Malware details and indicators of compromise associated with the exploit have been included in the notice. Impacted customers are urged to take immediate action per the company's guidelines. Ray, let's unpack this for just a moment, because we have so rarely talked about malware exploitations and updating. If I cannot pull my hair out any faster as I say that, talk to me.
I was just thinking, you know, we don't talk about this stuff nearly enough. It's awesome. I appreciate it. If you want to go paranoid, join cybersecurity or just watch MSP Dispatch. I have to imagine we're fueling at least a few Lexapro prescriptions. So, you know, look, okay, 8 months, mucho no bueno. I get it. Or as Phil would say, big bad. I get that. But at the same time, they found it. I mean, what kills me is a lot of this stuff, I get you can't QC for everything. Completely understand that. I get you can't scan for everything, and I'm not knowledgeable enough to say what they should or shouldn't have done better to find this, right? You always want to look and see what can be done better, but you know, we don't have enough details to see what's really happening here. It's cool that they notified, which is all we can ask, right? Catch it quickly, notify quickly. But I don't know. I'd love to see a different one saying like, hey, your info got out. We fucked up. Like, how cool would that be? Like, I'd be so happy to hear one of those messages.
Oh, now you're just talking about corporate communication and transparency. Come on, Ray. You're throwing the bell curve off. Industry standards. In order to adhere to industry standards, let's be quiet and then try to cover it up and then say, oop, mea culpa. We can't believe this happened. We're rectifying that right now. And this, who's the new guy? We've terminated individuals. it's so unfortunate that this is not, I would just say, as crystal clear and frictionless as it could be. That being said, because time is everything, literally every moment counts. That being said, there's a fine line that has to be drawn. And how do you balance between, hey, let's do communications of a vulnerability to get people exploited, and let's get everyone updated so the exploiters aren't notified that maybe this is the new target that they should be adhering, and they could put more wood behind their arrow and be more effective. I think that's the one question that has to be asked. So from a layman's perspective, I would love to say, tell everyone everything right away. But if we back up just a hair, there may be, reason, logic behind.
But where's that delay? Where's that line though, right? Because like that's standard practice for any kind of incident response for a breach. You talk to the attorneys, you talk to the insurance companies, they give you a very minimal thing to tell everybody, if at all, and then they do their investigation, then a more full response comes out later. It's a fine line, right? Like how long, because as long as you don't say anything, there's people actively getting exploited, right? So do you do it when there's a workaround? Do you do it when there's a patch? Do you do it in advance of saying, hey, just get your Barracuda stuff offline? You know what I mean? I don't know what the right tack there is as far as timing. You know who might know? MSPs that deal with this every damn day. Let us know in the comments. Let us know on Discord. Please let us know.
So. But there are rules, and that's the interesting thing, because everyone has to have rules. Ray, do you have a story about rules?
Uh, I mean, at least it's not another security story gone bad. So let's go with that as a win. Yes, I do have new rules. And this is about which businesses are subject to the new FTC safeguard rules. As reported by Jessa Mika Convokar of Intelligent Technical Solutions website. In 2021, the Federal Trade Commission, otherwise known as the FTC, announced changes to the safeguard rules. The updated rule, effective from June 9th, 2023, that's 7 days from the time of this airing, aims to address technological advancements and bolster cybersecurity measures. The safeguard rules, initially targeting financial institutions, now extends its coverage to non-financial institutions like mortgage brokers, investment advisors, and retailers with credit card services. The revised rule introduces significant changes, including the inclusion of a finder as financial institutions, new terms and requirements for information security programs, focusing on accountability, and exemptions for small businesses collecting information on fewer than 5,000 consumers. In addition, MFA, multi-factor authentication, will be crucial for information security programs under the safeguard rule, as this helps control access to sensitive data and ensures proper employee verification. To comply with the rule, businesses should follow these five steps: designate a qualified individual to oversee the information security program, implement encryption services for file and email protection, control network access on a need-to-know basis, assess applications and third-party partners for compliance, and employ a user-friendly security software with employee training. Businesses subject to the safeguard rules are urged to act swiftly for compliance before the effective date. Of course, you can see which businesses are affected by clicking the link below. I also want to mention thank you to the Discord that actually proposed this story. Tony, these sound like really interesting, really not really novel, but really smart things, five concrete things to implement in your business. Do you think businesses implementing them will lead to less stories of them getting breached that we have to cover?
Well, there's 2 points to that. The first one is very important. If they are, in fact, implementing this because they do listen to the MSP dispatch, they're trying to cut our stories down. And how dare you, how dare you, how dare you, FTC?
We need content, damn it.
Exactly. Stop telling people how to be more secure and have a framework to guide them into some type of security process, or at least minimal standards. The other part of that is, let's pretend that the FTC is not listening to the MSP dispatch. Let's pretend that the MSP is actually listening.
No, these are smart people. They have to be listening.
You may have a valid point there. Before I retract that, let me just finish my thought. And they may be watching the factually, statistically relevant data that ironically the MSP dispatch talks about twice a week. That talks about ransoms, it talks about malware, it talks about, frankly, just social engineering that causes not millions, not tens or hundreds of millions, but billions of dollars of damage a year. And that number is growing at just such an astronomical rate at this point. So I think the minimal guidelines, the MFA, the components they mentioned are a great starting point. But one of the things that you talked about was it extends the coverage to non-financial institutions. It was originally created for financial institutions, but now we're saying they recommend it for mortgage brokers and investment advisors and realtors with credit card services. Maybe we should extend that to if you have a heartbeat and you deal with electricity. We'll just say electricity. If you deal with anything that involves electricity, you should involve these standards. I think that's a good starting point. Am I going too far on that one?
No, not at all. I think the FTC went too far. Sorry, my dog is going for some
beer. That was but you don't have like the dog kittens clawing this time. There's your B-reel. I said, are you going too far? And then go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, the going too far thing, I think the FTC probably went too far in giving five bullet points. It could have been one. Watch MSP Dispatch every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Or subscribe to our TikTok and our YouTube shorts where we put more stories throughout the week. I mean, no. Number one, use MFA. Guys, and I hate, like, I'm struggling. Should we cover this stuff? Because I can't imagine we're talking to anybody that watches this show that's been watching for 100 plus episodes and they don't know to implement MFA. Like, I can't imagine, right? Now, the fact that it still has to be said, maybe that's the point. That's the takeaway for our MSPs that are watching, that we know for a fact are using MFA and YubiKeys and everything else, because we know they're the best of the best. But maybe that being able to tell others,
yep,
that are YubiKeys right here. So, you know, but, you know, being able to tell others and advocate for MFA, even to non-clients, I think MSPs sometimes forget they have a voice, and to be able to go out and talk to, you know, talk to others and inform them. Sometimes that's the best way to get a new client, just educating. Sometimes the best way to get a new client is to go to an IT named sports arena, and maybe you can get your cyber insurance when you go get your corn dogs. You got something about that, Tony?
I may have something about that, and some people may have heard about it in my second story from the channelpronetwork.com. Kaseya, an IT management software provider, is partnering with Cysurance, a risk mitigation firm, to offer discounted cybersecurity insurance through the Kaseya Cyber Insurance Fast Track Program. The program provides up to $1.5 million US at a 20 to 50% discount for firms using Kaseya's IT Complete Security Suite, which includes a range of cybersecurity tools. The aim is to simplify and lower the cost of cyber insurance for managed service providers and their clients. The initiative, currently live in the U.S., is planned for a global expansion later this year. The program indirectly benefits Kaseya by adding value for customers, fostering loyalty, and providing business opportunities for Cysurance. So, Ray, we have heard so much about Kaseya, the Kaseya data merger, the Kaseya three-year contracts. There's a variety of, we'll call them acquisitions, that were not very well received or communicated. But sometimes companies do a good thing. Is this a good thing?
I mean, making things more accessible to the community as a whole, absolutely yes. I have no opinion on Cysurance.
Cysurance. Is that how
you pronounce it? Yeah. I have no opinion on them as a company. I have no experience with them. So I'm not going to talk about that or the quality of the vendor. But generally speaking, making services available to those who need it, putting it at the forefront. I can't tell you how many MSPs clients that I signed back in my MSP days. That wasn't because I'm an amazing salesperson or I have the gift of gab or anything. It was simply because I said the right thing at the right time to somebody who was interested. Pure luck. Now, the only way to make that luck happen is say it over and over and over again, so it could be front of mind. And that's kind of the point. When you have Kaseya or any vendor talking to MSPs, and now you can say, we also have these other things that we know you need. We can bring it to front of mind, and you already have a relationship with us. That makes sound business sense. I know Kaseya is kind of a dirty word with some arenas, no pun intended. But in some areas, we're not going to talk about that. That's not the point. The point is one of your vendors pairing with another vendor to provide services so you can give a complete package as an MSP. I think that's a win for everybody. What about you, Tony? What's your take on this?
I'm a huge fan of bringing existing resources into the play for the benefit of others. It's very clear that there is a, we'll call it a peripheral benefit to Kaseya, and they're expressing that in the article for the value of loyalty and a variety of other components, of which I was implying as well. But there's probably a resale distribution play as well, commission level distribution that they're receiving on the back end, that's a monetary value. So if they manage to monetize this, great. But, and I'm just throwing this but out there, maybe offering tools, existing resources that can remediate existing problems in an environment that you already exist in is a something that's going to be for the betterment of everyone. And what we're trying to get to, and let's be blunt about this, everything from ambient computing, which is just computers are in the background, but back those, for those of you who remember in the 80s, that's about 3/4 of our audience just said, what? Who's alive in the 80s? And remember getting a computer for those of you in the 90s, and you get a 3.1, 3.11, et cetera, and going, I have my own computer. That's a pretty cool thing. And then getting a laptop was a huge thing. Computers are now ambient. You know what else should be ambient and just there? The MSP community managing, being the Sherpa of all things related to computers, everything internet related. And if this insurance happens to be put in the hands of the MSP for a more frictionless resolution, I'm a huge fan that it's being spearheaded by, in this case, a large company like Asea. So bottom line is I'm happy that they're adding more tools to the arsenal of our audience.
Absolutely. My only recommendation to MSPs is qualify those who you do business with, do your due diligence on your vendors. Insurance is included, right? We had the conversation in a previous dispatch about Austin McCord's thing. Good luck, Phil. Austin McCord's thing where it wasn't actually insurance. It was a warranty. I don't know anything about Cysurance themselves, but look into it and see, you know, how it might map. At minimum, you have knowledge of something you don't want to use, or maybe you have knowledge of something you do. But you know what I always want to have in my life, Tony? Notables. You got any notables yes. for me?
Let's do it.
In my first notable mention, ransomware attack on U.S. dental insurance giant exposes data of 9 million patients. Written by Carly Page for TechCrunch. A ransomware attack on Managed Care of North America, MCNA Dental, one of the largest dental insurers in the U.S., has exposed the personal data of approximately 9 million patients. The breach, attributed to the Lockbit ransomware group, occurred between February 26 and March 7, 2023. The stolen data includes names, addresses, dates of birth, phone numbers, email addresses, social security numbers, driver's licenses, and health insurance details. MCNA Dental refused to pay a $10 million ransom, leading to the hackers to publish the stolen data. The Lockbit gang has targeted other high-profile organizations and recently faced setbacks with the arrest of one of its leaders and the indictment of a Russian national associated with a group. The incident marks the largest health information breach of the year so far. Just wait. We got more coming. My second notable mention, 421 million spyware apps downloaded through Google Play, written by Dark Reading staff for darkreading.com. A recent report reveals that over 421 million Android app downloads have been affected by spyware masquerading as a market software development kit, or SDK. According to the researchers at Dr. Web, the malicious SDK known as Spinok, S-P-I-N-0-K, was advertised as a package of marketing features for increased user engagement. Unbeknownst to developers, they were unwittingly distributing spyware. The Trojan SDK establishes a connection with a command and control server, providing extensive device information to evade detection by security researchers. The compromised apps, including popular ones like Noise and Zapia, have been identified, and while Google has addressed the issue, users who already downloaded the apps still remain at risk.
And in my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft finds a Mac OS bug that lets hackers bypass SIP root restrictions. Apple has patched a critical vulnerability, CVE-2023-32369, dubbed Migraine, in its Mac OS, which allows attackers with root privileges to bypass System Integration Protocol and install undeletable malware. Microsoft security researchers found that this flaw could be exploited via Mac OS Migration Assistant Utility, permitting execution of malicious code that could bypass SIP checks. It was also noted that this exploit could bypass transparency consent and control security measures, granting unrestricted access to private data. Security updates addressing the vulnerability have been released for Mac OS Ventura 13.4, Mac Monterey 12.6.6, and Mac OS Big Sur 11.7.7. This marks another discovery of Mac OS vulnerabilities by Microsoft researchers, continuing a trend of their detailed security investigations into the Apple platform. And my next notable mention from Wired.com, millions of PC motherboards were sold with a firmware backdoor. Cybersecurity firm Eclipsium has discovered a hidden mechanism in the firmware of 271 motherboard models manufactured by Gigabyte. This mechanism auto-initiates an updater program that downloads and executes another piece of software each time a computer with the affected motherboard restarts. While this hidden code is intended as a harmless tool for keeping the motherboard's firmware updated, the mechanism is implemented insecurely, making it potentially exploitable for the installation of malware. The updater program, triggered from the computer's firmware, is difficult for users to discover or remove. Eclipsium warns that malicious actors on the same network could spoof the software's source location, installing malware instead. Gigabyte has been unresponsive to comments and reportedly plans to rectify the issues.
Whoa.
What up, y'all? For today's AI roundup, in a recent interview with humanloop.com, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, shared a number of insights about the organization's current status and future plans. Here are some of the main takeaways. OpenAI is facing significant GPU limitations. This is slowing down short-term plans and impacting the speed and reliability of the API, which has been a key concern among customers. Long-term, these limitations are restricting the rollout of larger context windows and fine-tuning methods. OpenAI's focus in the coming years is on improving GPT-4, extending context windows, enhancing the fine-tuning API, and developing a stateful API that remembers the conversation history. They also plan to integrate multimodality in 2024. ChatGPT's plugins are not likely to be included in the API soon. Although developers are interested in this, Sam Altman suggests that the demand for plugins doesn't currently meet the product market fit. Sam stated that apart from ChatGPT, OpenAI will avoid releasing products that could compete with their customers' offerings. The goal for ChatGPT is to be a super intelligent assistant for work while leaving other GPT use cases for their customers to explore. While Sam Altman advocates for the regulation of future models, he doesn't see existing models as dangerous. He also highlighted the importance of open source and hinted at the potential of open sourcing GPT-3. Despite some claims that the era of giant AI models is over, OpenAI's data suggests that making models larger continues to yield better performance. This implies that AGI could be achieved sooner than expected as long as we continue to scale existing models. And that's it for today's AI Roundup. I hope you have a good weekend, y'all. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. And we've got a slate of all in-person events starting on June 4th through the 8th, Cisco Live in Las Vegas, Nevada. On June 5th through the 7th, IT Nation Secure in Orlando, Florida. And June 7th through the 8th, Channel Pro SMB Summit in San Jose, California. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have on June 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 at 38, the one-year anniversary special. And on the 6th at 5:30 p.m., the Tech Bar and MSP Geek live meetup at IT Nation Secure. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3, 5, 7, 9 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky, who attended MSP GeekCon in person, says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-NETWORK. Tony, we lived, we laughed, we cried, we loved. We may have gotten a 3-year contract while eating corn dogs at a Sisurance stadium.
Your contract, that was really funny.
You know, while we were playing backdoors and breaches at MSP GeekCon, Barracuda was doing their own backdoor breach. I mean, it was, it's been a fun episode, man. It's been great.
Absolutely great seeing you again, seeing you in person. For those that you don't understand, we don't actually see each other like in person. So when we see each other, we're kind of like, let me just touch. Like, are you real? Simon on the back and Phil, they were like, stop it. I kept poking them. Like, I just making sure.
Wait, can we do the fist bump? Can we do that? Yeah, definitely. Oh, shit. I don't even reach into my screen. There we go. I'll have to zoom in or something. No, it's true. Like, we only live, you know, 4 or 5 hours away from each other, but, you know, stuff comes up. So we only really get to see each other when we fly to conferences or sometimes when we go to Orlando. So very cool. I appreciate you coming out, as everyone at MSP GeekCon. Don't forget, we're looking for your alphabet stories. Maybe we'll call it the alphabet stories. I think I can rock with that. We're looking for alphabet stories all month. Please send them in. news@mspmedia.tv. And yeah, until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
And my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft finds a Mac OS bug that lets hackers bypass SIP. Is it SIP?
Just a party here on Dispatch today.
I'm barely on camera, so I'm stealing airtime. All right.
Oh, and there's our first V-reel for the day. That was good. And my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft finds Mac OS bug that lets While this hidden code was intended as a harmless tool for keeping motherboards firmware, I have to start from the top. I'm so sorry. My eyebrows weren't fleeky enough.
You're full screen ready for you whenever you want.
I'm fleeking out right now, man. I'm fleeking out.
I'm fleeking out. Okay.
You're muted, buddy.
Color. Okay, better.
He's muted.
I was not muted. I was just lipping.
Oh, you were lip syncing. I got you.
That's all I was. I was like.
In this story of MSP Dispatch.
A serious vulnerability in the Barracuda email. Exactly. Okay, we're having too much.
Oh my god, that would make the best bloopers. Why don't you start talking and I'm going to read some of your script while you're moving your lips. This next story talks about a critical Barracuda Zero Day was used in the backdoor networks.
I can't.
All right, I'll shut it up. Go ahead.
I'm sweating. That was too much pressure. Okay.